This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucks.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
When your team is good, people are looking for things. And I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up. And I think we have to be careful in society today that people just can't come out and say things. And this bit about us trading Gronk to the 49ers or Tennessee, it just, there's no basis to it, and it gets a life of its own. And I just want to go on record at today's event to make sure that you all understand that there's no truth to that, and I don't, people shouldn't be able to do that.
So again, that's Robert Kraft denying the Rob Gronkowski's rumors from late last week. However, this afternoon, Pro Football Talk, who again, I will just tell you, Mike Florio, super close with Drew Rosenhaus, Rob Gronkowski's agent, always has been. Always been a good source for Gronkowski news. Just because of that relationship between Rosenhaus and Florio. He writes today, 3 days before the draft, Patriots were making calls about a possible Gronkowski trade. Per a league source, the Patriots were calling other teams about a possible Rob Gronkowski trade as recently as 3 days before the draft. Coincidentally or not, Gronkowski ended nearly 3 months of uncertainty regarding his future by declaring publicly that he would play for the Patriots in 2018 only 2 days before the draft. It's not known what the Patriots wanted or whether a deal was actually close. If it was, it never got to the point where Brady made a power play and Kraft made a boss move, literally. Some think that the Patriots were hoping to add the assets needed to make a move for quarterback Baker Mayfield, who didn't emerge as a serious contender for the number one overall pick until the very week of the draft. It likely would have taken much more than the Patriots would have or could have surrendered to get all the way to the top of the draft order. But either way, 3 days before the draft, the Patriots were making calls about Rob Gronkowski. So, your thoughts?
I absolutely 100% believe it. And to me, this is consistent with the whole storyline with Gronk. That early on, and I go back to the Super Bowl, when, who was it that broke that story again that Gronk might retire?
That would be Pro Football Talk.
The same guy who's close to Drew Rosenhaus.
That's right.
Right, and Mike Florio. So that came out. Gronk was asked about it after the game. And the instinct then was that it was a contract ploy. And the reality is, maybe they already knew that it was coming to an end with the Patriots, potentially. And I think one of the things we discussed after the news of that was that this was Gronk and Rosenhaus trying to manage the trade market. That if you threaten retirement, it affects where Bill can trade you. Because at the very least, the team that's acquiring him says, well, is he playing? We saw that he's talking about retirement. So we want to talk to him. We want to be able to understand what the hell's going on here. So that they'd have some say in the whole thing. So now they approach the draft. Gronk's out on, you know, the ledge, for crying out loud, being a complete lunatic, with the motocross press conference, the whole nine yards, adhering to the TB12 method. And Bill says, screw it. Let's just sniff around, see what we might be able to get for Gronk. They start talking to some teams. Rosenhaus hears it from those teams who say, exactly, is this guy playing or what? What's the story? Because we're getting calls that potentially he's available. And so there you have it. I think that that is all very reasonable and realistic.
Yeah, I mean, even Zoe, again, said it. You've been hearing the promos. He thinks that Gronkowski was definitely being talked about in trades prior to the draft. So I think, again, the Kirkchen report, the others, you know, who sort of reported this thing last Friday, Bill had a deal worked out for Gronk. Brady threatened retirement. Kraft interceded and nixed the deal. The way it was portrayed is that that went down on Friday in a meeting at Gillette on Friday. So that's been shot down as hogwash, and I, you know, would agree with Kraft on that. But as we've said, I think broadly speaking, all those things sort of kind of happened at the end of April. I think Gronkowski was off the reservation. Bill said, enough of this crap. And the clincher was that horrible motocross press conference, which came the weekend before the NFL draft. Okay, the weekend before it. And Bill said, that's it. They talked about trading Gronkowski. Brady got wind of it. If he didn't threaten retirement, then he kind of, sort of, in his own fashion, made his uncertainty be known. Because, again, right in the middle of this. Jimmy, do you have the Adam Schefter report on April 18? Right in the middle of it, Adam Schefter comes out of nowhere and says this.
Well, again, I think the sense is that he'll be back for the coming season, Sage, but I think there's still a question, and he has not committed officially to playing for the 2018 season yet. He's not at the offseason workout program this week that began on Monday, which is a little bit unusual for him.
So just stop there. So right in the middle of Rob Gronkowski being shopped, Schefter comes out, says Brady's not committed to playing 2018. So did he threaten retirement, or did he just play the game in the media? Like, well, if you're doing that, I'm not sure what I'm doing. So you can call that a threat or not. Feels to me like there was a tit and tat there, if you will, that those things were related. So I think broadly speaking, Kirchin had it mostly right. Just the timeline and the actual, you know, the dramatic sort of scene didn't exist. But I think broadly speaking, yep. Bill was looking to trade Gronk. Brady let his uncertainty be known. Kraft probably stepped in and said, fellas, what are we all doing? That's when they called in Gronkowski. They had a come-to-Jesus meeting. And wouldn't you know it, on the 24th, I believe, Gronkowski says, that's it, I'm going to be a Patriot. And he's not going to be traded this year. So they hammered it all out. So I don't know. I don't think that's hogwash. I don't think that's hogwash, Robert. I think that sort of all broadly happened. I do.
No, it sounds like all sides were leveraging.
Okay, you think
so? Just two things quickly. One, Kraft coming out and talking as bluntly as he did about this and calling it hogwash. And again, I don't remember exactly. So you're better at this than I am because you have a better memory than I do. Did he do anything similar when Garoppolo got dealt?
No. Like, what do you mean?
Did he come out and
his quote with Peter King was that Bill came to me, I was a little taken aback, I checked with Jonathan, and we said, go ahead, do it.
Okay. I remember the Peter King quote. All I'm saying is the idea that he intervened on Garoppolo, did he call it hogwash?
He's denied it. I don't remember the exact verbiage.
Okay. So that's all. To me, they're worth comparing at this stage, because if you're going to come out that strongly and call the Gronk thing hogwash because you don't want the appearance that you interceded, then maybe it gives more credibility to the notion that he did with Garoppolo.
I'm pretty sure that he categorically denied it to Peter King. He just didn't have a snappy term like hogwash that I remember.
Okay.
But I'm almost positive he categorically denied ordering Belichick to trade Garoppolo.
So then this brings us to the Adam Kirchin story, okay, which I know is ultimately where you were trying to lead me. And so Kirchin was on with TNR the other day and made a comment about how he tweeted, you know, put the tweet out there about the whole, all the happenings involving Gronkowski. And to me, there was an interesting detail toward the end of one of his comments. Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
I went to Stacy. He denied it. I still thought there were legs to it because I did believe in my sources. And I went an extra mile, talked to somebody else with access to as much information as Stacy, and that person confirmed everything. And it was then and only then that I tweeted this out. You know, had that person also denied what was in the tweet, I would not have done anything. You know, none of this would have come out.
Okay, so he says at the beginning, I went to Stacy, and Stacy is Stacy James, the media relations director for the Patriots, and Stacy denied it. And then he says, I went to another person who had as much access to the same information that Stacy did. Well, Belichick has his own PR guy down there. So then my wheels start spinning. This is how my brain works. So is it a situation where Kraft's media relations guy is saying one thing or the team's and Belichick's media relations guy is saying another? Now, he didn't mention that. He didn't say that by name, right? So we don't know who that second person is. But I went to another person with as much access to the same information that Stacy has.
So what he's saying is someone else on the team.
So I my wheels start spinning and say, is this Belichick and Kraft both posturing in the public part of the story?
That Belichick letting people know that I got big-timed again by the owner, and the owner coming out and letting everyone know this is hogwash, I don't make football decisions.
Bingo. Bingo. I mean, that's where my mind went when I heard that comment. So, to me, there's just so many different dynamics at play in there in terms of this power struggle between Bill and Tom and now Bill and Robert, and none of this stuff makes me feel any better about it. Like, I hear it all, and I say, to me, there's more evidence there about this internal friction and strife, and it's on multiple levels. It's not just one. I mean, you tell me, am I losing my mind?
And instead of sitting here and grinding it out and hammering it out, and again, no shortcuts to building a team and no days off, instead, they take the whole week off, go golfing, cornholing, boating, whatever. They all just bail. Like, Yes. So, yes, that's your offseason.
I mean, they're just, they're not on the same page yet. They're not on the same page yet. Anywhere close. And it feels like all over the place. Now, look, again, this was a little, you know, 3 or 4 day thing in the middle of summer. Fine, we got to show up. And everybody, nobody's really committed to it. The next time they all show up, they have no choice. The season starts. Right? The season starts. So then it's the long haul. Like, this is almost like a long weekend in between, sort of interrupting everybody's life. So, to me, if this thing's still persisting at the start of the camp, you know, in a month and a half or whatever it is, look out.
Okay, I know I promised this for a while. Your phone call's next. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
It just adds to this weird cloud. There's just this bizarre, like, it's not like the Patriots all of a sudden became a focal point of conversation and a team that other teams would like to see, you know, deal with some stuff, have some issues. They've been one of the dominant teams in football since 2001. And it just feels like it's only now that all of these clouds are floating around, coming from Tom Brady, coming from Rob Gronkowski, a sense that it's moving toward an end. You know, you get that sense that the end is coming for whatever it is the Patriots have put together. And even though the most recent reports were, as Robert Kraft said, hogwash, and I've heard from multiple sources that there was nothing to it, there's just a feeding frenzy out there now as it relates to the Patriots. And until they get on the field and win games, that's not going to change.
All right, that's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, another radio show that's simulcast, and he looks right into the camera. Very off-putting. Much better to listen to, trust me.
He looks like Sarge.
To the phones, as promised. Tommy and Milton, go ahead, Tommy. What do you got?
Hey, listen, Mike, I want to tell you, I agree with Tony. I think this whole thing with Belichick and Kraft and the whole thing, I think Kraft is a liar. That's the first thing. I think he's lying when he says it's hogwash. And the whole thing with Belichick, the only thing Belichick can do now is he can say, you know something, I'm going to do what Parcells did. You got me to grow, you got me, want me to cook the stuff, but you want me to buy the groceries? I've had enough. When does Brady decide to who gets on the team and who doesn't, who gets traded, who doesn't? If I want to improve my team, that means Tom Brady's got to give me the okay? Screw that! Brady's a bitch now, and I've lost a lot of respect to him.
Okay, the B word's a little strong, but I understand where you're coming from. Is Bill's reaction this week, canceling the whole thing, a little bit out of exasperation?
Could be.
And I think it could be, too. Again, Ben Volen writes in the Globe that maybe it's an olive branch to the players. We're going to have fun. We've had it, you know, we're going to respond to the criticism from not just Lane Johnson, but from my own players. Amendola, Gronkowski, Brady have all talked to some degree about fun down there, not having fun. And so has Belichick given into that? And so we're going to have fun. I'm going to give you the last week off, and we're going to go cornholing instead of, you know, strapping them on and playing football.
Or maybe there's a lot of angry veterans because of the decisions made in the Super Bowl.
So maybe it's an olive branch, as Ben says, to his team. Who knows? Maybe it's ownership ordered, because who announced the fact that the guys have the last 2 days off?
Robert.
That would be Robert, the owner. So he's the one that let us know that. So who knows? All the more reason for Bill to say, screw this. See you later.
Another decision made by Kraft going over Bill's head? Because, well, if you think about it, if he's the one that cancels him, so that who's that benefit? If he cancels him, it's less heat on Brady, right? For him not being
So, you know, Ben pointed that out, too. You know what? By canceling him, you're getting Brady's back, because Brady's big defense, or those who are defending Brady, say, well, these OTAs aren't that important anyway. So what better way to prove that they're not that important? By canceling them.
Right, and because he knows that the tension level is still high. So, you know, and the notion that they were pre-scheduled.
Yes, that's right.
The cancellation of it.
Well, no. What do you mean, pre-scheduled?
Wasn't the idea that they weren't going to have these OTAs? You said Zoe said it was already scheduled.
Yes.
They were going to end early.
I'm sure that people that want to defend the team will say that he's canceled early before in the past, and they actually put the mandatory stuff last week so he could give them this week off.
Okay, but I would say in the same breath, allegedly didn't Brady tell them early on which ones he was going to be at and which ones he wasn't?
I guess.
So in other words, isn't it easier to cancel them when you know Brady's not going to be there?
I just think if Brady wanted to stay and throw to his receivers, they'd be having camp.
Sure.
Period, story over. If Brady went to the team and said, we're not where we need to be, I want to work with these new receivers, they'd be down there right now throwing balls to each other and in camp. Okay? Instead, Brady's golfing. The family man is spending his day at the golf course.
It doesn't feel like anything has been resolved down there, is the bottom line.
Okay, we've got a lot of leftover stuff on the Celtics as well. I know you've been waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so. Ben, in the car, what do you make of the Kyrie Irving situation?
Hey, guys. Quick point here. I think not just the Kyrie Irving trade, but also sort of the future of the Celtics. I think it's very interesting how LeBron put Boston on his list sort of in the last few weeks, it seems. And my thought there is he realized Kyrie left, took over in Boston, and how good we are. And now he's thinking, hey, what better way to get Kyrie back than to take his team from him, have management trade him, and then take that team to a championship just to, you know, give him a, you know,
okay. Way down the list, Ben. Your phone's mediocre. Way down the list for LeBron. LeBron is either doing it all for business and growing his brand and what's best for the LeBron brand, or he wants to win more rings. Okay, so those are the two things motivating him. Being able to tweak Kyrie is probably like a side benefit. It's on there. It's on the list somewhere, but it's got to be way down. Don't tell me that it's more important than his global brand and his business. It's not. And don't tell me it's more important than winning championships. It's not. If you could do both in one fell swoop, maybe it's a little bonus point for you. Hey, I get to go to Boston and win a championship and screw Kyrie? I'll give you a little extra consideration now because that's a little cherry on top.
Yeah, to me, the business comes first with LeBron. He's thinking about his brand first, his reach first, all of that. The basketball, to me, for him, sadly, is secondary.
Adrian Wojnarowski reports today that the Celtics were in on Kawhi Leonard, or they offered a package to the San Antonio Spurs, which was not countered at the trade deadline for Kawhi Leonard. You want him? Your thoughts on that? Brian in the car. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, the Kyrie to Kawhi in a vacuum sounds great, and I know we're living in the era of positionless basketball, but you guys already said it. You'd have to move Rozier to the point guard, a starting point guard. I personally would do Smart because I think he's a better distributor, but that's not the point. The point is one of your four wingmen are going to the bench. It's not going to be the two established all-stars. Personally, I don't want to see Tatum go to the bench. I don't know about you guys, but not after what I saw this season.
So here's what the caller's referring to.
Brown.
So, right, I hear you. A previous caller said that I'd actually trade Kyrie Irving right now because we have Terry Rozier, which, again, on the face of it, is silly. It's green teaming there, right? That's just overvaluing your own player or overvaluing whatever, the backup versus the star. But I asked before, if Kyrie gets you Kawhi Leonard, I ask you this, what's greater? What's a better situation? Just having Kyrie Irving or having Kawhi Leonard and Terry Rozier?
The second one.
It's the second one.
Sure. Yeah, that gives you better depth and a bigger, you know, you get another wing player to fit with a group of wings.
Okay, so that's what this caller just said. That's too many wings. One of those guys has to go to the bench. Are you stunting Jaylen Brown's growth if he goes to the bench?
Nope. I mean, because again, you say bench, but like, there'd be enough minutes there. There's still enough minutes. And I wouldn't rule out the idea of playing four of them together at the same time. The Celtics get off on that. Look at Golden State. They get Draymond Green playing the five sometimes, for crying out loud. And he's, what, 6'8"? So the Celtics, they're not worried about... The only reason to have a big man out there is if he's good. If he's not good, what's the point?
No, I mean, right. A lineup of Smart or Rozier with Kawhi Leonard, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward?
They could totally do it.
They would do that?
No. I told you, Danny Ainge goes to bed thinking about that kind of lineup. He wakes up the next day and takes his pants off and runs around the house thinking about positionless basketball. I'm telling you, that they would love that idea of having all those, because they would be, again, a matchup nightmare if they built that kind of roster.
Colin in Boston on the Pats. Hi, Colin.
Hey, guys. Man, I just can't trust a thing Robert Kraft says anymore. I mean, first it's the Wells report in context, and now it's like, oh, everything's great. Yeah, Gronk's a company man. We're never going to trade him. And meanwhile, he's, like, threatening to wrestle or, like, do motocross. It's insane. I mean, like, at least call it rain. Like, we know what's going on. You don't have to, like, lie to everyone and, like, pretend everything's great. But honestly, I think that the real problem here is not about, like, I don't associate all of this this lack of code of conduct with the Patriots with Butler being benched. I think it really comes down to the Garoppolo trade. And I think when you empower Brady, you empower all of his little minions, and that includes Edelman and that includes Gronk. So I really think that that's what it comes down to, is Brady lost, you know, Brady won the argument, he has all the leverage, and now all of his little guys at Guerrero's, you know, cult can go off and do whatever they want and act up against Belichick.
You know what's happened to those guys, though, Colin? They're dropping like flies. Amendola, gone. Edelman, popped. Gronkowski, shopped. So you say that Brady winning that power struggle empowered his whole crew. Well, his whole crew has started to drop like flies.
Tell you, though, they did become more vocal, though. And maybe vocal's the wrong word.
There's no question they became more vocal.
Okay, so because it's a lot of it was on social media.
But do you remember Amendola's exit interview with Mike Reese in the car?
Oh, right, so that was vocal.
He called Bill an a-hole.
Yeah, so that was vocal.
That is, I mean, and I know he wasn't with the team anymore, but Amendola ripped him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, to me, Brady's the head of the snake. I'm with the caller. I think the whole thing springs off of Brady rebelling, and it opens the door for everybody else. It's the Patriot way in reverse. The whole idea along the way was that the best player bought in. He took less money. He worked harder than everybody else. He committed to the operation, and Belichick was able to call him out in meetings. So if Belichick can do it to Brady, he can do it to anybody. The rest of them have to buy in. They have no choice. Look, he'll do it to the quarterback. He buys in. You don't have a choice. If you don't think he'll get rid of you, he will. Brady buying in gave Bill much of his power. So now, when Kraft comes in and backs Brady, and Brady all of a sudden looks at it and says, oh, well, now I have more power than the coach, what do you think's going to happen?
And the reason, the hogwash thing on the Gronk report, I mean, you know the reason that Kraft really felt the need to dispel that. It wasn't that Gronkowski might have been on the block or not, or that it was the Titans or the Niners or not, or it was the fact that it was reported that Kraft interceded. And Kraft interceding in football matters is the third rail. It's the third rail, as I've said a million times, between Belichick, Parcells, Kraft, that whole thing. All these football coaches don't want to be one-upped by their owner. They want to make the football calls themselves. And whenever an owner steps in and makes football decisions, it's the third rail. And they're so sensitive to it down there, given their history. And that's what Kraft was talking about. That's what Kraft wanted to dispel more than anything. Here's Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ah, you want some more Patriots trash talk? Like, I haven't given you enough today? I'm in a bad mood with the Patriots. I don't know if you can tell. I think it's a mess. I do. And I didn't think it was as bad as it was being portrayed. If you've been listening, you know that I felt they'd have this all settled by the time we got to these camps. That Brady would be there day one, like usual. That there'd be contract extensions. Everyone would be on the same page. Kraft would have come in and played the mediator and like the would have ridden on his white horse and everything would have been fine. I told you this at the Super Bowl in Minnesota. That I thought that these guys were all going to come together. And it's going to be one big happy family by the time we get to the spring in these camps. And then we get to spring in these camps, and not only is it not one big happy family, it feels like it's worse. So, like, now that I think this stuff is real, I think it's worse than I thought it was. It is worse than I thought it was. Well, here's another one. So the Edelman PED, you want another piece of Patriots noise? This is another great, oh, you hate this guy, too. Oh, you hate him. Oh, you hate this guy. Which makes me want to play it even more. Chris Sims has said some really dumb crap about you that has got all your panties in a bunch so often. And he's toned it down the last couple of years. But he had something yesterday on Edelman and the PED thing. Jimmy, what do you got? Play it.
Julian Edelman is one of the guys that is just through years of conversation here and there where guys, you know, having a hey, what, do you think he's on something? Like, those kind of things. That happens a lot.
Damn.
Right? Right. Well, it, like I said, it's a special build. It's a special wiring because people have always marveled about Julian a little bit. Because players like Julian, black or white, slot receivers, when you're asked to be that guy that he was in that offense, so dependable, so many catches every game, so many routes, run blocking.
It's a lot of contact.
They usually wear out.
Because you're right in the middle of everything.
He was one of the few I can always say, but damn, he looks like he's faster January 9th than he was September 9th. And that was always a little bit, I think, red flags for a lot of people in football.
You're telling me that people have been thinking this way about Julian for a long time?
Julian Edelman's been, there's a lot of people that, yes, they've been suspect of Julian Edelman.
Okay. So there's Chris Sims. There's another one for you. I mean, do you disagree with him?
No, but again, I could say that about half the guys in the, more than half.
You bet. But especially,
they've been suspect of Julian Edelman.
The little fella in the slot who was drafted in the 7th round, who, I don't know, Vinny at NBC Sports Boston, you have pictures of him from the body issue on ESPN? Like, you've seen the picture. But, like, I don't know if you do, but just Google it. Edelman, ESPN body. I think that's where the picture comes from.
Yep.
Take a look at it. You tell me if that's normal in any way, shape, or form. That if you get, you can do that from a rubdown from Alex, that's what that gets you. Like, take a look at that picture. Just Google it.
I mean, if he can be in the body issue, I can.
Yeah. I don't know about that, Tonto.
Well, I might have to get on a little something.
So, anyway, just wanted to play a little Chris Sims because I know how much you enjoy him. I know Tony in Stoneham enjoys Chris Sims' work. Go ahead, Tony.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, look, you know, you always rush me off the phone and you don't let me make my point.
90 seconds. I'll give you
rush everybody off the phone.
90 seconds, Tony, 90.
All right. Here we go. First of all, you've watched all the Super Bowls. Have you ever seen any player on the Patriots as upset as they were at this loss? No. Gronk was BS over the loss. Brady was BS over the loss. Brady also has missed these option practices before.
Not like this. You're wrong about that. He's never missed them like this, Tony. Trust me.
All right. You know, he's got kids that are older now. Kids need more attention. Blah, blah, blah. I don't blame him for that. But here's the thing. You guys are calling Kraft a liar. He told you outright there's nothing to these stories. But you don't want to buy it. You want to know why you don't want to buy it? Because we are a country now of fake news. Nothing good is good enough. It has to be dramatic. You mentioned a guy that went to a source. He didn't get what he wanted. He went to another source. Didn't get what he wanted. Went to another source till he got what he wanted.
Smart.
This is all opinion. It isn't facts. That's the problem. And you guys make it dramatize everything.
Okay, so I never said liar. That's a harsh term.
You didn't use the word liar.
That's right.
But you did. One of you said that you don't believe Kraft.
Yeah, well, we call it, Tony, a sports fib. Okay? So these guys massage the facts to protect themselves and their organization, and we all sort of accept it. And there's sort of a level that goes on that just because an owner comes out and denies something that might have had some truth to it, I don't think that makes him a liar. That's sort of business. Like, you talk to Danny Ainge in the month leading up to a draft or a free agency deadline, I don't know if he ever tells the truth. And he might be like 0 for 10 in truthful statements. So, but that doesn't make him a liar. It's like, that's just the price of poker. Sports fib, okay?
I mean, I think the off season in every league is the lying season.
Okay, so
that's what I think it is.
They call it that for the reason. So don't, like, I'm not.
But the way he's saying it, too, like, what are we supposed to take Robert Kraft's word for it because he's Robert Kraft, because of his status and power? He said it, so it's automatically the truth. Like, what?
Well, so look, and you basically painted a scenario that, to me, I think is something close to the truth.
I mean, so Kraft is able to deny that specific thing on Friday and be telling the truth, but broadly speaking, there's elements of truth to the report, but the way that was presented, Kraft's able to shoot it down as hogwash, and that's not a lie, but there's elements of truth to it.
Yes, and look, the way you've presented this whole thing around the draft, with Gronk and the Patriots making some phone calls. What if they did make phone calls and there was never actually a formal trade on the table, but they were gauging interest? And then Brady hears about it and says, what's this about?
So again,
and Kraft says, well, let me find out. And goes to Bill and says, well, we're not going to do this, right?
The big one that just lends truth is that, again, and so I mean, I am piecing together reports. Mike Florio says the Patriots were calling teams as soon as 3 days before the draft. So that means in the weeks leading up to the draft, they were considering trading Rob Gronkowski. That was the exact same time, out of nowhere, Adam Schefter comes out and says Tom Brady is still considering whether he wants to play in 2018. So is Robert Kraft lying when he says he never threatened to retire? Well, okay, he could be telling the truth that he never technically threatened to retire. But did he go to Schefter and say, you know, I'm not sure about what I'm doing in 2018? And isn't that sort of a gray area in between where everyone has plausible deniability? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So to me, it just times out too perfectly. It just times out too well. Gronk was acting, was off the reservation, man. You threatening retirement, you know, hinting retirement, hinting going to wrestling, you know, tweeting all this stuff out. Then that motocross press conference was a total in-your-face sort of F you to the team and Bill. And would it surprise you if Bill was calling around to see, you know, what could I get for this guy?
No.
And would it surprise you at all if Brady heard that and said, well, if you're going to do that, I'm not sure what I want to do next year.
Right. And then it wouldn't surprise me if then Brady, you know, mentioned something to Robert.
And Robert said, well, guys, let's all calm down and figure this out.
Right. So Robert goes to Bill and said, listen, let's not do anything rash here.
Let's figure this out. Calling Gronkowski, calling his agent. Let's all sit down. And they sort of hammered out. And the next thing you know, on April 24th, 2 days before the draft, It's reported, not reported, Tony, but Gronkowski releases it himself. Met with Bill today, going to be a Patriot next year, and then Schefter does report he won't be traded this year. So like that all times out to me.
Entirely feasible.
And
it looked totally feasible.
It's just another log on the offseason.
So again, what interests me there is the dynamic, you know, if all that is going on, the dynamic again between Bill and Robert. You know, like, because it feels like they both want their messages out there, and they counter what the other one is saying or doing.
Exactly. Is Bill letting it out that I got usurped again by Robert? And is Robert, in no uncertain terms, calling that hogwash because ownership doesn't intercede in football decisions? That, again, being the third rail. And so I want to make that perfectly clear. And so that's there's a little back and forth there.
I mean, you can believe whatever you want as a fan. You can believe whatever you want. But the fact is, it does not feel like they are on the same page down there or that they're even close.
And don't tell me Brady wasn't playing some sort of game there with that Schefter report. I don't know how else to read that. Kyrie Irving, what sort of games is he playing? Is Kyrie Irving playing a game with you, not committing to the Celtics, or is there a reason? Is he non-committal to the Celtics because he's actually not committed to you? And is that an issue? We'll get to that story right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie, if there was an opportunity to have you reunited with LeBron James, is that something you'd be open to or against?
Like I said, in this business, I've kind of experienced it all, and I've seen a lot, so, you know, we'll see what management decides.
Kyrie, would you want to play with LeBron again? Can I translate that answer? Hell no. No freaking way. And the tell there again is the pause in the answer. Again, play the question, Jimmy, and the answer.
Kyrie, if there was an opportunity to have you reunited with LeBron James, is that something you'd be open to or against?
How am I going to say this?
And the sigh, too.
Yeah, like, oh, God, I can't believe you're asking me that.
To or against?
Because if you want to play with someone, it's simple. So, yeah, I'd love to play with him. Yeah, I play with him. I play with anyone.
In a second.
It's a knee-jerk, easy answer. Unless you don't want to do it, and you don't want to, you got to figure out how to say it. Then you go, we'll see what management decides. So he clearly does not want to play with LeBron James. Like, we knew that before he said that, right? Is that why he's playing this game about being non-committal to you? Why is Kyrie Irving continuing to be non-committal? Is it on its face? Is he non-committal because he's non-committal? He doesn't know if he wants to be here beyond next year? Is he just being truthful? Or is he playing a game? Is he a little agitated that you're talking about LeBron? So he's saying, well, if you're going to talk about LeBron, I'm going to talk about, I don't know what I want to do. And it's just sort of a little tit for tat. You're going to do that. Well, you're going to talk to him, and I can talk to anybody. And so he's just doing that. Is he also, or could he be playing a game, like I mentioned earlier, he just wants the adulation of being an NBA free agent, and he wants his own sort of Hamptons house and the own recruitment and the own decision. You know, this is what it is with NBA superstars now. You get that great recruitment and just that whole process, and he wants to experience that because, like the rest of them, he's a diva. And so he wants to have a Hamptons house, and people come to his beck and call and sit at his knee and beg them to come to his team. He just wants to experience that. So he's going to play it like I'm a true free agent, but he's still tabled to come here. He's coming back here. So is he playing a game, or is he actually serious about not being here beyond next year? And you're beginning to worry.
I am. I'm beginning to worry is right. Yeah, I am beginning to worry. And here's why I'm worried. Because no matter what you do, Kyrie's got the hammer. He's got the leverage. He can walk. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of next season. The only way the Celtics get any sort of leverage is when they sign him. So up until that point, Kyrie has the hammer. And the LeBron stuff has me worried because I think as soon as that came out, I didn't like it. I mean, you know, again, now look, you want to tell me you can't sign Kyrie? Would I take LeBron? Of course. Who wouldn't? Of course I'd take LeBron. To me, I like the idea of keeping Kyrie on board and having a nice long window with the young nucleus. You have all of that.
So again, just so we're clear, he has to opt out after next year. So that's
a given.
No one's asking him to sign now. If he signs now, he's leaving $80 million on the table. So of course, you play out next year, you opt out, and then you sign back to the Celtics, but you don't have to sign now. But when you're asked over and over again, do you want to be here long term, and you don't say yes, that starts to build up. Like, for example, Kevin Durant is opting out in Golden State.
Correct.
But he's made it abundantly clear he's just doing that because that's how he maxes out the money and he'll be back in Golden State.
Right. In fact, I think he's made a comment within the last day or so. It is something to the effect of, I don't even know why this is a question. Of course I'm coming back.
Okay. Kyrie, on the other hand, just the opposite. And so, like, you know, he's had a million chances to do it. Here's just another example. Play number three. Kyrie 3, Jimmy.
Have you had any discussions about your future beyond this coming year? You get a greater sense of self-determination after this year, but have you talked about that at all?
No.
What's your hope? What's your desire?
Well, my hope is that maybe we could limit it to maybe one question a day about what I'm doing this year. So, I mean, that's my hope.
So he sort of answers it with a snide joke, as opposed. But the question from Bulpet is, well, what's your desire? What's your hope? What do you want? So easy for him to say, I love it here. I'd love to be a Celtic full, you know, for the rest of my career. I'd love to win championships here. I'd love to have my number up on the bat. You could just answer that anyway, but that's just, it's a yes or no. What do you want? Well, I'd like to be here.
So he wants to make the Celtics sweat.
Why won't he do it? Is he making them sweat? Is he playing a game, or is that serious, meaning, I don't know what I want. I don't know if I want to be here.
Well, either way, publicly, he wants the Celtics to sweat.
Okay, which then further leads to an Adrian Wojnarowski report that the Celtics were in on Kawhi Leonard last February. They were in on Kawhi. Celtics made a trade offer to the San Antonio Spurs before the February deadline, but the Spurs turned it down and never made a counterproposal, league sources said. San Antonio wasn't willing to discuss deals for Leonard in February. So far this spring, the Spurs remain resistant to trades. But the Celts were in on Leonard last February. So now we sort of piece this together. They wanted Leonard at that point. He fits perfectly with what they want to do. Positionless basketball, 3 and D, great defensive player, can play offensively, another guy on the wing. How's his three ball? Does he shoot the three?
Oh, yeah. No, he can shoot the three.
Okay, so like all of it. Jimmy also heard what? Again, our resident Celtics insider back there, Jimmy Stewart. What did you hear on Kyrie?
That,
And you're reading the text directly, aren't you?
The Celtics might quietly be talking about trading Kyrie. Nothing substantial, but his name's coming up.
Nothing substantial? What?
No, that wouldn't be.
I think that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a substantial deal.
And that was volunteered to me. I just got that.
Okay, so Jimmy, who gets
earlier
things?
In the day.
Who gets things? Is sorry now that Kyrie's name is coming up. Which makes you go, huh. So is Kyrie talking non-committally because no one's committed? And this thing is open? And Kyrie might not really be here long-term and he knows it? And so he's just reflecting that? And is that somehow related to Kawhi Leonard? Would you trade Kyrie Irving straight up for Kawhi Leonard? You wouldn't have to give up any of your young pieces.
So I told you I wouldn't do that deal unless Kyrie was, unless Kawhi Leonard was signed longer. Right now, they're identical contract situations. So if you ask me which one I take, I take Kyrie. I think he's a better scorer, and I look for a guy who can get a shot in the final, 5 minutes of a game.
Here's the equation. Kyrie Irving wants 40. Well, I mean, they want the same things, which is that max contract. So they, 35, 40 million a year. Kyrie has bad knees and has not committed to you. So, I don't know. Isn't that kind of the guy Danny Ainge would trade? Someone who wants a ton of money, who's injury prone, and hasn't committed to you. Is talking about, is again, not even going through the motions of saying he wants to be a Celtic. Don't they generally trade that guy?
Yes.
So, like, that's just got over, that's got over our wheels spinning. Is Kyrie just playing a game, and he's tabled here? There's a contract sitting in someone's drawer just waiting for him to sign it after next year for him to max out. Or is there really something to it? Is he being non-committal because no one's committed?
So it's one of two things, right? Again, it's one of those two. Either there's a handshake agreement and this is all bullcrap, or there's an issue. I mean, it's one or the other.
Exactly. I thought the latter, Maz, since they acquired Kyrie Irving. I'm not so sure that that's true anymore.
So Jimmy's hearing things now.
And yeah. Maybe something has happened within the last 24 hours.
Well, so I do. I worry about it because the deeper we get into it, I look at it and say, Kyrie got traded here. Like, we compared him to Durant. Durant chose Golden State.
You think something's happened in the last 24 hours?
I do. That it's just weird that that voluntarily got sent to me. It's just weird.
Dig.
No, you just do what you do. You do however you do it, you just do it, Jimmy.
No, I would just sit there, Jimmy, and let the ships come into the harbor.
Exactly.
Babe.
Do what you
That's
do.
What, I would just sit there, kick my feet back, crack open a couple beers, and let the boats pass by.
Jimmy's had the last two first-round picks, and he had the Kyrie Irving trade the night before, which we ignored and instead talked to Greg Bedard about backup guards. Biggest professional stake in my career, and I've made him. That was the biggest.
I wish I could say that was my biggest.
I'd do Roy Halladay again that day versus going back and making that mistake that I made with Jimmy that day. He came in the day before.
2:15, I walked in.
Day before. Said, I think they might be exchanging medicals on Kyrie Irving.
I think they're trading medicals with Kyrie Irving.
And I went, yeah. Okay, what do you got, Bedard? We're going to talk about Connor McDermott, this guard they drafted? Let's do it.
Tony Garcia.
I just can't believe the incredible difference in treatment between myself and Jimmy Stewart. He's got this great scoop. Now, take your time. Do what you got to do. Mari, Google it. Find it now. Stupid for liking running backs.
No. Jimmy, do what you do. You just, however you get that information, you get it.
LaDainian Waddle.
Different personality types, Mari. You need to be
Adam Butler.
You need to be pushed.
Yeah. Treated like a mule.
Okay, so there it is.
Connor McDermott.
Yes, right. That's what we talked about all day. Instead of Kyrie Irving.
Jameel Douglas.
Coming to the Celtics, yes.
I do find one, if I can add a little detail here.
Yeah.
I think that the Celtics core is some combination of Hayward, Horford, Irving, Tatum, and Brown. I think Kyrie Irving would be the first of that core to be traded.
Why?
Opinion.
Well, the easy answer would be they have him for the shortest period of time.
But also, let me tell you, yes, he's up, but they believe in the kids, and you want to stick with the kids as long as possible to see what they are, and you drafted them. So you brought Tatum and Brown into this world. You're attached to them. I told you before, Danny Ainge would move on from anyone. I don't think he'd move on from Gordon Hayward because it's the coach's guy. They put a personal investment in him, and they made a personal pitch to Gordon Hayward, and he came here because of it. And also, that sends a really bad message to future free agents. You know, we're going to pitch you to be here, be the next great Celtic, and then trade you 11 months later. So I don't think they'd trade Gordon Hayward. I don't think they would. Danny would trade his firstborn. He wouldn't trade Gordon Hayward for that reason. And so who does that leave? Did you put Horford on your list?
He did.
I did, and sorry, a little PD choke up there. I put Horford on the list because I kind of disagree with that because Horford's going to start to decline really soon here.
Yeah,
and he's the oldest of that group. I would be looking to move Horford before I would look to move Kyrie Irving.
But so look, could Danny Ainge pull the trigger on Gordon Hayward? I don't think he would. And I think they want to keep those kids. So you can't pay them all. There's another thing coming up where you're not going to have four or five max guys on this team. So you're going to have to make some choices there.
Correct.
You have to make some choices. So we're just kicking this around today along with all of our Patriot stuff. Your calls and reaction right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.